Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and we're back for another exciting, enthralling, and completely captivating episode of Quality Time. All the other ones I lied to you in the intros. This is the real good one. All right, maybe not, but no, it's a solid episode. We have a secret that Ashley's going to tell about her health and her current situation, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. There's an update on Jeremy's rat problem, and, you know, we get to break down a great movie for Fansgiving, our chance to give back, and the last week of November where we give back to the fans. You guys make all the picks, and this week is no exception. A great chef's kiss film to end off Fansgiving. But if I could remind you guys to, hey, hop on the Apple Podcasts, the Stitcher, the iTunes, whatever bullshit that you listen to us on, drop us one of those 5-star ratings. And most importantly, us just being the small guys we are, tell a friend about the pod. It means the absolute world to us, costs nothing at all, and it'd make you pretty freaking awesome, especially with Christmas coming up. What better way to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than to share this godforsaken podcast with somebody that you love? So without further ado, get strapped in, crank that volume up to 11, and get ready for Body Melt.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches. Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches.
Like sheer hubris.
I was just like, how dare they have the sheer hubris to do such things? I can't say it without it for some reason.
I'm so turned on right now. It's like, in my fantasy, sure. You could be smart.
I'm pretty sure if you're confident about something, you have hubris. But if you're confident but really funny about something, it's hubris.
Huber. You're Hubie.
Hubris.
You're
actually, yeah.
You're that movie with Adam Sandler. You're Hubie. That's you're Hubius.
Hubie Halloween.
And if you're really confident about something, but you're jumping up and down on steps that are kind of like a pyramid, then you're Cuberus.
I hate you. I hate everything about you right now.
Good to see you, Jeremy.
I love Cuber.
Cuber. It's Cuberus. Cubertless. I don't know. Guys, are we ready to kick off today? Welcome to Quality Time. Is that in order? I think so.
Yeah.
I think we've whopped the whop enough, so.
Whoa. I hope you mean wet-ass pussy and not without papers. We are a very progressive podcast.
No, I'm always making Italian jokes, so.
Okay. I hate those fucking Italians, let me tell you. Look at me, Chris Restivo.
My Italian friend had to explain a science fiction film called A Bronx Tale, where a young Italian guy falls in love with a black girl.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You mean she was black the whole time, right? And everybody was okay with this?
What about that amazing film about an Italian falling in love with a tiny waisted woman? I believe it's called Master of Disguise.
Oh my gosh. Master of Disguise.
I hope this is turtly enough.
That story of falling in love with someone you're not supposed to. Like, what a beautiful story. She has a tiny ass. He looks past it. It's a great love story.
Oh, man. Future Quality Time episode. Oh, let me go through introductions, though. That voice that you hear is none other than my blood and my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. Are you even going to attempt an Australian accent for this episode?
Again, we go back to Australia to watch a movie from made by Australians. One of the greatest movie makers on all the earth. Except for Yahoo Serious.
Okay, Yahoo Serious. Okay, great. I'm not really sure where you're going with that, but yeah. I think the guy who directed this movie, his name is Philip Brophy, which is a fun name because it's like bro, and then it adds like the word Murphy at the end.
Which is like Paul Jackson, Peter Jackson's alias. So.
Oh, is Philip Brophy?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Philip Brophy. It literally sounds like he made it up while he was being asked what his name was.
I think that Peter Jackson literally, with the change that he made from the Frighteners, made this in like thousands of dollars just for the fun of it. So,
all right, great. And that sultry voice you hear in the background and is none other than the very lovely, the very talented Miss Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you, love?
Oh, I'm good, Admiral. Thank you for having
Admiral.
Me.
Admiral Woodworth at the helm. Mm. Destination? Let's drive this ship into that giant pussy over there.
I'm going to have to break out my dental dam.
And that makes me the little buddy.
Hey, last night, me and Ashley, we were playing Quiplash with some local comedians, and we played TKO. And I was really sad nobody picked my one drawing. I drew a giant vagina with a car driving into it with like lines that like a highway like this. And all I did was put in every girl's name. And I was like the road to whatever. And every girl who was playing, I was like, somebody please get this and get one of these names. But nobody picked
it. Which is really upsetting for me because I try much harder when I play these games and somehow I still tie with Eric. So that's
yeah. The first time ever I've never seen a tie in Quiplash, and me and Ashley in the group tied, and I was like, hell yeah, two thirds of quality time, kicking ass, taking names.
And shout out to friend of the show and former guest Chris Lawrence, who, by God, I just love every time we play. The next day I get an email where he's like, do you like me? And I'm like, of course I pretend to like you. It's fine.
Yeah, you and Chris have some tension that I feel like one day, like, Chris is going to just take you out to a ball game one day, and you guys are going to, I think you guys will mend your relationship one day.
I'm not sure what needs mending. I think men just assume that I don't like them, and they constantly try to get on my good side by, like, I don't know, like, asking me to be on their podcast and...
You are a part of the show now, so this is not asking anymore. You're just stuck with us.
Oh, okay. Like, all right. I kind of like that. Okay, that's fine. I can deal with that.
Jeremy, how is the rat situation going in your house? I saw that the body count this week had reached a total of 8 or 9. Has
nine.
There been
nine.
Okay, 9? All right, we're at the 9 count. How is it going along? Where are we at with that?
9 is, it stayed at 9. I think it was either Monday or Tuesday when the last of the rats might have been taken out, and it's been very quiet ever since. I think there still might be one more because there was some more poison eaten today, but it took almost all week to eat a whole bowl of poison. So it might be mice. But yeah, they were going through the poison like fucking... Like an Arby's drive-thru for like...
Wait a minute. I helped clean up your house. Is that... Are you saying the poison is that green stuff in there?
Yeah. You didn't take like a big spoonful into your
mouth.
Wow. It tastes good for the first minute until the stinging.
I totally thought that was guacamole. So I had like 4 or 5 scoops on a Ritz cracker. I thought it was a little off, but I was just like, and it was a weird place to keep it open on a lazy Susan within your cabinet. But
well, it usually is where we keep our guacamole. Like our salad bar for Taco Tuesday. So.
Yeah, the Jeremy Woodworth Taco Bowl, where you can choose from rat poison, rat shit, or really premium tortillas. They have he doesn't skip on the necessities.
They go bad after 6 months. They can't leave them out too long. If they get too fuzzy, if there's too much like either green or purple fuzz on them, then you know that's gone bad.
Jeremy, can you tell us? I gotta queue up something because I forgot about it. Tell us about how the Purple Power Hour has been going.
Can I finish my rat story?
No,
real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah. Finish the rat story. Go.
So, okay, the number 9 rat. Mm-hmm. I think I capped him in the back, and then he moved around a little bit. So I was like, "Oh, great!" So, capped him 2 more times in the head. I thought it was dead. I put it in the trash can on the top, and I was like, getting my photo picture. You know, my satisfactory shot, because there's always a picture of every dead rat on my phone, which I sent to a friend by accident. They're like, "The fuck is this?" I was like, "Oh, I just pressed that by accident. I'm not trying to send you a message or anything." They'll never mess with my mortgage again. No, but seriously, it was already, I put it on the top of the trash can, about to take a picture, and I could see it still breathing, and then all of a sudden it just kicks and moves. And I'm like, "Oh shit." So I just had to cap it in the head 2 more times.
All right.
That was a real, real fighter.
Is that a total of 5 shots?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Hey, So, Joe Robinson, friend of the show, actually wrote you a little song, Jeremy. Are you aware of this? Joe Robinson wrote a song for you.
What?
Yeah, here it goes. I'm going to play it for you right now.
No more. We both found what we were looking for. With a friend you call my own, we live in Jeremy's home, and you, my friend, will see. His kitchen's where we shit and pee. His kitchen's where we shit and pee.
There we go.
Is that him at home on the piano or what?
Yeah, it played the whole thing. That's Joe Robinson playing a James Taylor classic.
Is about a rat. Is that real? Is that real?
That's real. That he really sent me that. Do you want to hear the a cappella version?
Is that a real song or did he just make it up?
No, I think he told me it's a James Taylor.
The two of us need look no more.
This is him a cappella.
We both found what we were looking for. With a friend to call my own, we live in Jeremy's home, and you, my friend, will see. His kitchen's where we shit and pee. His kitchen's where we shit and pee.
We haven't had any real corrections from him for like forever now, right?
Yeah, well, we did have one Joe Robinson correction. He did mention that in Cabin in the Woods, the gentleman who it was really only one, and it was for me. Let me remember the actor's name. Cabin in the Woods. The guy who works there. Filling
was it
time.
Turd Ferguson from Happy Gilmore?
No, not Turd Ferguson, but the... Where is he? I'll recognize him. Yes. Richard Jenkins, who plays Sitterton in the movie. I mentioned that he's in Will Ferrell movie, Step Brothers, as one of my favorite movies.
My favorite from 6 Feet Under.
And you said Six Feet Under. We neglected to mention that he had won an Oscar for the movie The Shape of Water. So, and that was very recent.
I just want to say this to all listeners that when I watch 6 Feet Under, I only watch the gay scenes. So
that makes sense.
I'm a little embarrassed that I honestly, that's a great correction from Joe. I'm a little embarrassed because Shape of Water is not only my favorite movie, it is the upcoming docuseries about my IBS problem.
What is IBS?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, okay.
You know, spraying water out your tuchus.
Yeah, so, the Bellagio of buttholes.
I took a I took a certification for forklift and scissor training this week.
Jesus,
and,
save some pussy for the rest of us.
I know, I have a penis, so it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I don't have a vagina, even though I think that I might have when I was born. But, you know, they can sew things like that up.
So. Okay. I don't know where you're going with that, but I like it.
So, scissor and forklift. You know, it's my favorite crime-fighting duo. But it's a little warehouse. There's all five of us getting training. And, man, I know I'm getting tested. I know I'm being watched. And I just start getting the worst gas in the world. I'm like, man, if I can only get, like, 10 feet away from the guys while he's training us, like, maybe I can let a little one loose. Maybe it won't reverberate through the entire fucking echo chamber of death. So I got away with it.
You got away with it. Did you when you did it, did you go back? Did you grab like an ass cheek and try to make it like give it an easy like spread your butt cheek a little bit so it kind of go like a cat fart?
No, you just gotta be like, you know, walk around this one vehicle and as you're walking around.
I like
Hard must have blown.
It's one of my favorite things is to rip a horrible fart in like a group of people and then escape and then watch the carnage as they all look at each other like, what the fuck is that? And I'm 30 feet away. The one thing I can't do is if I fart in a group of people and then leave, I will watch until they realize it, and I can't. They know it's me because I'm crying. I'm fucking crying. I can't.
Eric, I was super mad last weekend when I was at McGoobie's because this person I couldn't stand showed up, and then while they were mid sentence talking to me, I went and I just like glared at them, and I was like, "You just farted while talking to me," and I was gonna try and not hate you, and now I have to hate you. Like, that is just the foulest fucking thing ever, and I don't know when I'm gonna get the chance to fart on them. But this week, twice, I did cough two separate occasions and shit myself this week, so I'm hoping I can pull that one off when I visit this person.
Congrats, Ash. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
You know, in some in some countries, they would make you queen for such feats.
I know. Men would fight for me, like, to the death for this shitty bitch, so.
She farts and she says, for extra $10, we can film her butthole when fart comes out of butthole.
Well, actually, if Eric doesn't mind, I think I do have an honest Ash today, if he's prepared for it.
Oh, I'm always prepared for honest Ash. Oh, and it's about that time again for another segment of Honest Ash. And here's Ashley Pontius.
Hi, listeners. It's Ashley here. I wanted to let you guys know that sometimes I get really bored. So I'll put a slide whistle between my cheeks and I'll play Hold Your Head Up by Argent. This has been Honest Ash.
And that's another segment of Honest Ash with Ashley Pontius. You know, I hear the blues are calling, tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Yeah, look at those scrambled eggs.
It's super fun because I'll get bored and I'll be like, and I'm like, you can make it.
So,
my favorite song is by Foreigner, the song they sung about Argent called Argent. Because they're Argent, Argent, Argent.
So Argent.
Argent. I love could be. It's Argent.
It reminds me of my father, because I'll be like, hold your head up. Burp.
Oh. Oh.
It's fun.
Ashley, are we going to get into what's currently going on with you right now? Like, currently we going can. On with me right now?
Sure.
So
unfortunately, I don't do that. I unfortunately was preparing for a surgery to help fix my chronic butthole problem. Chronic butthole problem. And then the day before surgery, I had to be tested. Friday I was tested for COVID, just because you have to get the surgery. And I got a call on Monday morning that I tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh,
so I'm currently stuck in my house. And I don't know, Eric. What are you doing at home?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Ashley, because I also went to, you called me on Monday and told me the news. So I immediately got up and left work and had to go myself get tested. And when I went to the urgent care locally here and in there and they swabbed my nose. Fun story, when I get my nose swabbed, apparently I laugh uncontrollably to the point where I moved so much that I made myself my nose bleed when they pulled it out. Just a big old glob of blood that came out after they swabbed me. And they also a little pricked my finger to test for antibodies, and they come in, and they go, well, your swab, after 15 minutes, they gave me results. They were like, you're showing negative for COVID-19, and I went, yeah! Excitement. Then they said, yeah, but your antibodies show that there's two different types, right? There's the short-term antibodies, right? And then there's long-term, saying that like you are like you've had it and you're cured of it. I did not have the long-term. I just had the short-term that suggested that I do have COVID-19. So that sucked, and I was like, so what the fuck do I do now? I was like, okay, so do I have it or not? We're like, well, we're gonna swab you again because the rapid test isn't always the most reliable. So they swabbed me again. I laughed, I bled, it was fun, I cried a little bit, and now I've been waiting on lab results since Tuesday night. I've been living in my basement away from my family. Meals are left on the top of the steps for me. I'm just living a secluded life of family free, and I gotta be honest with you guys, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
Telling Eric like was the second hardest thing I've ever done, and the first being that I was pregnant, but we got rid of that. But it but I felt so bad because Jeremy, your brother, had come down to support me because I was like nervous about hosting my first like really big weekend at Magoobies, and Tommy was performing. So Eric had come down Thursday to support me, and now I feel like a monster. So I had to call everyone I've had contact with for the last 2 weeks, and that was shameful and that was fun. So I have another 9 days of quarantine.
So how do you feel? Like, I'm not showing any signs of, I don't have any symptoms at all. I actually feel
a mild cough that I thought was irritation that started when they went up my nose. But other than that, yeah, I have no symptoms. No real problems. Like when you guys saw me last Sunday, I felt like garbage because I hadn't eaten in 2 days in prep for my surgery. So I got to tell you guys, I really dodged the bullet because had I had started what they call the clean out process, and then they would have told me I was positive and couldn't get the surgery, I would have been pissed.
I think you would have been shit out of luck is more accurate, but
I will drive over there and kill you.
So yeah, I'm living in the basement though. I'm living in my unfinished basement. I'm sleeping on a twin bed every night. I have computer monitors that surround me and give my life meaning and fulfillment. And I kind of don't hate it, if I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel bad that I'm down here. I enjoy that I get my food left on a step at the top. I talk to my kids from a full flight of stairs distance.
So how long is your chain?
It's long enough. I still have to go upstairs though to use the bathroom from time to time.
Suck that, man.
But sometimes I found life hack, just to let you know. You can actually undo your hot water heater and just pee into that, and I've been doing that for a couple days. So that's been working out pretty good. It's really just sometimes I'm just too lazy to go up the steps. I'm like, stick your dick in this thing. And it's been working out pretty good.
I hate to say I've been using a milk jugs for the longest time, much like Howard Hughes. But if I could,
Jeremy, tell me you don't have milk jugs of piss in your house. Tell me you do not have that right now.
You think I'm walking downstairs every time I got a piss? Are you kidding me?
And we were one. I was concerned about the rat problem. Now I'm concerned about the human bile that just lives in your home right now. This is the movie Body Melt. The pathogen is being created in your home right now.
Hey, hey! If you find a milk jug, that ain't apple cider, buddy.
I could tell you I would never randomly pick up something in your house. I'm like, I wonder if this is edible.
Hey,
I would never
have some of this apple cider. Oh no, don't drink that. Oh, whatever.
It's pure evil.
This but, type of conversation is hard because I'm like, I'm the one that has COVID.
Yes. Oh, which is funny because Jeremy, I everybody from work has been calling me every day because I've been working from home, and they're like, so your results coming? I don't fucking have it yet. I was like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, today, still no results. Monday, I'm probably not going to have them either, and I'm just going to go, yep, still don't know. So there's a whole office of about 10 people that I come into contact with that are like waiting on with bated breath to find out if I have this shit or not right now. And I was like, I don't know. I really have no clue. So
I'm sorry. Fans of the show, please keep the hate mail directed somewhere else. I can't handle it right now.
So what was the other
thing? People actually contact you? Wow.
But the good news is that you did some things in my favor. I'll throw this out there. Everybody that you came into contact with, like you spent the whole weekend with Tommy at the club, he's already tested negative. So he's confirmed negative. And you probably would have had the most contact with him over that 3-day period. So that, I think, bides well and in my favor. And apparently, Carlos Mencia already had it. So you didn't give it to Carlos Mencia, but maybe he gave it to you. Did you ever think of that? It would have been the first time he actually gave something to comics as opposed from taking away from them. But
yeah, that motherfucker probably did, because I think I shared this last week, but he deep throated his mic and left it in the stand the very last show for me to take out. So I wouldn't put it past him. I will say, Tommy, if you're listening, we obviously continue to hope that you do not show any symptoms or signs. I will let people know, like, just health for the general listeners. My concern is that some people have been tested too early. Please understand that you can show symptoms and signs even 10 days after exposure. So if you need to go get tested, do not go too early. This has been my PSA.
Well, that might have been the case with me, because if I was exposed on a Thursday, I was walking around and I got tested Tuesday, which I feel like is an appropriate amount of time, right? Like, no, maybe?
They're not as sure. Again, everybody, I do encourage you, we are not doctors. Do follow the CDC and FDA guidelines right now. But I am under the impression that part of the reason for quarantining for 14 days is it can take quite a while sometimes for it to pop up. And if you get tested too early, you could get a negative and then say 5 days later, you're positive. So everyone, please remember to wash your hands, wear your masks, and do not go out unless necessary.
Fuck
this.
Yeah,
is someone stuck at home.
Get Halo Master Chief Collection, because that's how daddy's been spending his time. People have been hitting me up like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, I literally been playing video games and didn't look at my phone for 4 hours. I apologize. And it's funny, my sweet wife really feels bad for me. She's like, I feel bad that you're in the basement and we already brought, you can come up. I was like, yeah, but I might have it and you guys might not, so I'll just stay down here. She's like, yeah, but I feel bad for you. And I was like, I had to explain to her, I was like, honey, I kind of love it down here. I kind of love living in squalor, away from everything. It's been some of the greatest peace I've enjoyed in like a month. I've gotten things done. I've cleaned up down here. I got myself, you know what it feels like? I feel like I'm 2001 Eric Woodworth moving into a college shithole house, and I'm like, this is my fucking palace. I love this shit. I got everything I need. Look, I got some weed. I got some fucking this. I got beers. My wife bought me beer. I was just like, this is I'm living like a king right now.
Wow. Well, if this is 2001, Eric, that's wild. Because are you gonna bust in 90 seconds?
Fuck yeah! Like, what am I, a marathon runner? Get out of here. under a minute. That's what I go for. Okay, minute bust times.
The best thing about your basement now is the little pond that you made. And the little island that you can swim out to. and you only wear like a little loincloth and you're always talking about your precious and how your eyes have gotten really big now. So
Halo is my precious. Is. My
I know
spine
it's hard to believe, but apparently Eric can get paler.
Yes, I can. Yeah, I was definitely playing Quiplash last night and showed everybody my ass cheeks. I was like, I'm looking for a bottle opener, blah, blah, blah. The bit didn't go over as I planned.
It was upsetting. I was not prepared to see it. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know we were getting a blizzard.
I am the whitest and have the least amount of male ass you can ever look on somebody. It's flat like a pancake. Strong, but flat like a pancake. Can't even, just like how mom used to make them. So,
whitest of the white.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy, though, Jeremy's got a big old badonkadonk, though. You ever seen that Jeremy's backyard? Let me tell you, that guy walks around ready to fuck.
Oh, I am ready to get raped in prison faster than any white man's ever been raped, so. My milkshake brings the boys to the yard.
Mine apparently gives them COVID-19. So.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard to rape.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. I like it. I think, Jeremy, you hold yourself in such high regard. I feel like if I was in prison, I could do better than you. Does that make sense? Like,
well, if you can get past like all the psoriasis on my ass while you're touching it and it coming off in your hands, and you know, it's okay.
I just imagine Jeremy's been in lockup for 8 months, okay? Jeremy's in prison, hasn't been raped yet. And so he starts sending like little letters to the other guard, like the other guy over there, and it says, "Hey, will you rape me? Yes or no? Check one," like this. And he's just waiting
really
with
sexy DMs. Really sexy DMs where he's like, I'm about to be the cheese grater to your block of Parmesan.
The worst thing is that letter I sent to Fleece Booty Johnson. He's like, man, if I gotta touch your white crusty ass, that ain't even like air to me anymore. Use like some bottom feeder ass.
I think the thing we're missing is that, Jeremy, you would be a commodity, not in the rape market, right? I think what they would use you for is, like, you could totally get in with, like, the Black Gorilla family and get protection, and all they would ask is, like, hey, we need some more shavings from Jeremy. We got to cut this shit so we can get it out to the rest of the fucking jail population. So everybody's just doing cocaine and Jeremy the whole time there. Like, they're just, Jeremy is literally the commodity that they sell, or all of his flakes everywhere and shit like that.
We need another pound out of your skin. I'm like, that's gonna take me another day.
I just had this horrible image of them like rolling ravioli together and they're like, I need more skin flakes.
like there's a whole population of Jessup that's just addicted to Jeremy. They're like, no, if it ain't Jeremy's night, we ain't eating it. We need the special ingredients.
So I made the Purple Power Hour 2 song, which kind of sounds like James. I tried for James Taylor, but then when I listened to it, it actually sounds more like Spinal Tap.
Very similar and bands.
And I'm sorry I didn't send you a copy. I've been lazy as fuck. Sorry, a little burp. I made the mistake of thinking that it's common knowledge that there's only one team that matters for the Ravens to beat, and that's the Steelers. And the song pretty much goes like, you know, the Ravens have lost again, and it's time to lick our wounds, and you know, we will beat the Steelers again someday, and punch Roethlisberger in the nose. Roethlisberger.
Yeah, you just made him part of the MCU, the McDonald's cinematic universe.
Oh no, here comes Roethlisberger. He likes to rape.
I'm here to steal pussy. Later, Ronald.
Put your penis in some raw beef.
That definitely makes me grimace.
Oh man, the MCU, the McDonald's cinematic universe.
That
that's good.
Good.
That's a good bit.
Wow.
So Joe rejected it. He's like, I can only play that after a Steelers game. I'm like, No. Mm. The only thing matters is beating the Steelers next time. So,
Jeremy,
it's not like we care if we lost against the Browns.
I did get a message from Joe. His only response to your newest song was that Jeremy's song is laser focused. That's all he said to me. So that would be accurate.
Focused.
Laser focused, meaning he can only play it after they lose to the Steelers, which I guess isn't a good thing. I guess you should write another song for the next time they play the Steelers in case they win, and then you've hedged your bets, right? You're going to get one of them played.
I'll redo the lyrics for it, and it's still on a separate track anyway. You know, and in that track, I'll just say, penis. Penis, and it has nothing to do with the Ravens or his show.
Are we ready to get into tonight's movie? This movie was brought to us by our last Fansgiving of the month. Thank goodness we're finally next time we get to pick our own movies, and I'm fucking sick of doing this for the fans. Ugh, how dare you? No, it's really great. And hey, by the way, thank you so much for participating in Fansgiving. If you'd like to help us out, actually, if you hop on our Facebook page right now, there's a little survey that you can go and take that Miss Ashley Pontius has put together. We're trying to collect and mine your data as best as we can, and we're a small-time operation. I think we've said this multiple times, but if you'd like to go in, tell us the things that you love, tell us the things that you hate about the show. We're going to listen. We have fragile egos, though. Please be kind, okay? Fragilest of fragile egos. So go in there, take it. I believe Merle Rogers has already responded to it.
She did. A lot of our listener base has already taken it. We just want to say thank you so much. Just like Eric said, it's just a good way to kind of figure out how we can really give you guys, the audience, what you're looking for while still being true to ourselves. But as you guys know, I work for the government, so I totally plan to exploit all of your personal data.
Yeah, so get
help
that
us,
into
help
us.
Help us get our listenership to at least 110.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy, I will mention that. Sorry, I know we keep getting sidetracked instead of going into this movie, but.
Oh, geez, full microphone.
We played Laugh Finder game night, and I sent you the video link when we were going live. Part of our bit on the last Laugh Finder game night is we played all Jeremy Woodworth originals during answer time. And hey, 13 Ghosts still slaps, Jeremy. It still slaps.
Still.
It was
which one?
13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
13 yeah. Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Boop, 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 boop. Probably still your finest piece of art you've ever put together.
It's one of my favorites. Also, didn't you also play Pornalanche? Because that one always gets me, too.
Oh, I didn't play Pornalanche. I should have, though. Because a lot of times I save Jeremy songs, and when I want to search them, because they're all like in different folders and shit, I put the word Jeremy in it. So if I search Jeremy, it should come up. But the level of things that have Jeremy's name on it, I'm telling you, the level of content he puts out is astounding. And sometimes he doesn't tell me what the song is, so I refuse to listen to it before it's aired on the show. So I have to go I really have to dig into the archives a lot. It's not hard because if you listen to our show, at the very end, I also replay the song in its entirety, so I can literally flip to the very end. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember Pornalanche. Pornalanche, Pornalanche.
So yeah, I loved it. But it was, Jeremy, we love your music so much. And not only was it fun for me, and I'm so glad that Eric did it, but I know that Benjamin Hancock, like the minute he heard 13 Ghosts, he's like, oh my God, this is like nostalgia. I get knocked down. And it was great. We love it.
I get knocked down. I got 13 Ghosts again. But yeah, we're going to keep me down. So tonight's movie, though, is brought to us by Dave Draper, who actually was on the show earlier. I think, was it last year? I think he was on the show last year. And I don't remember the movie that we did with him, but it was really fun. But it's 1993's Body Melt, which I'd never seen before or even heard of. But Jeremy, would you say this is accurate to call this Australia's version of the movie Street Trash?
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate to a Street Trash style movie.
Barely anything that gets to the Street Trash level of filth. But at least it tries.
It's, I mean, listen, I not as gross in special effects as Street Trash. I'll say it's a step down, but what they lack in Street Trash and Jersey actual homeless people that are in the movie, they gain in people acting mentally challenged, and which might be my favorite part of the whole movie is when we meet that family of just inbreds. God, I love every part of that.
And you know, you set me up because you said there was a family of retards. And of course, the father is not retarded at all. But the other three kids, they definitely did not even go full tard. I mean, on a level of tarddom, they were about maybe like a three.
Yeah,
more
I would
like
say
mutant
so.
Tard, like a crossover.
Yeah.
Mutard.
Yeah. Definitely. But I immediately thought, I mean, it's obviously kind of the same area, but I obviously immediately thought of Dead Alive or like. You know, any of Peter Jackson's early stuff, because it just has that campy, funny kind of, but really good gross out. And I know Eric always forgets this, but I actually lived in Australia for a time.
Oh, wow, yeah, I forgot about that.
Six
yes.
Wow. I moved there to be with my Aussie boyfriend, and it went bad. But I still love their cinema and their gore.
I met Zed.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Mr. Mohawk from Road Warrior.
Oh, awesome. Very nice. He did a
signing at Chiller, so.
Oh, very cool.
I will say, hey, do you want to know the funniest part of this whole movie that makes me laugh before we start going through Act 1, 2, and 3? There's one scene where they go to meet the Hills Have Eyes family, and they're like, where are you from? Melbourne. He's like, where's that? Literally the biggest city. Yeah. For some reason, that made me laugh really hard.
And just to let you know, we actually don't say Melbourne. It's Melbourne. Like a bin.
Melbourne. Australia.
Melbourne. Yeah.
So let's
get
it
sometimes on. I'm a little bit hungry. I'll go out and get a bit of spatchka. You know what I mean?
So the movie starts off with a little infomercial about Vimuville, which is a health spa / vitamin company / wellness being potential grabbing company. And you immediately after this little infomercial is done, you get to see titties, which is already it hits the ground running. You get tits and another sweaty guy who gets injected with what looks like reanimator goop into his arm.
They are so sweaty. It was really unnerving just how sweaty they are. And then I saw he had a huge bush. I was like, oh my God, is he smuggling a Tasmanian devil down there? It was massive.
Oh yeah, and you get to see a little bit of his dong too. You get to see that he has a thick ass peen. And
yeah, that's standard in Australia.
And then, but on top of the thick ass peen, later when this guy is dead, spoiler alert, they have his body up on the slab and he's like in the autopsy, they recreated the thickness of his cock again. I was just like, hey, look at that. That's an accurate representation from earlier in the good continuity in this film. So I liked that.
I don't think we'll be hurting any of the continuity that I tried to watch the rest of the film with my wife today, the last half hour. And I realized I was hitting on one of her biggest fears and disgusts in life, because I have a problem with spitting my loogies into the sink. And if I don't get the water right, it doesn't go down the sink, so it just like dries there like a little
Jeremy,
coagulant.
Oh my God.
Like a little
You are legit. Oh, you live a Street Trash life. That is you are a filth dirt person.
Like a coral reef in my sink of loogies and the oasis. You stop spitting in the sink, it fucking dries there and it makes me want to fucking vomit. And if she sees it, I see her see it, she literally starts almost ralphing like I told my wife, I was like, well, you won't want to see this scene because he coughs in the sink, but the loogie starts moving in the sink when he's doing it, and she's like, watching the movie with me.
Oh no.
Jeremy, I am so goddamn single. When I hear this from you, you know, after we're done today, I'm gonna go look in the mirror for hours and try to figure out what's wrong with me.
So This movie.
What, that you'll never be with a man ever because of the stories I've told you now?
No.
He's got piss jugs. He spits in the sink. There's like a coral reef of fucking gloogies in there. So
listen, Ashley, what it really means is if you want to get hitched, is like you just have to, you could find a Jeremy Woodworth in this world. I really believe it. Like, more than anything, I think you too could find a man riddled with psoriasis and sores that spits fucking coagulated loogies into a sink, and you could have your own rat palace any day.
You know, the secret is if I'm not running the tap to get the loogie, I can always get it with my pee-pee.
Oh, God.
Pee it down. You know, that's the special. I can always shoot it off that way. So
the weirdest part is that you're not quite tall enough, so you have to, like, stand back 10 feet and arc it in, which is...
Exactly.
I like that. Because otherwise, how do you get the velocity on the fucking piss stream? You know, you got to use gravity to help.
I get at least half the pee actually into the sink versus all over the floor and the front of the sink.
I hate you so much.
Walk off my balcony. Oh my God.
So this fella who gets injected looks up all of the residents of this unknowing street that is about to have this vitamin tested on all of them. He's going out to go stop it and takes down their address. But on his way, because he's been injected with so much shit, he's starting to transform a little bit. He goes into the local 7-Eleven there and goes right for the dish detergent and starts drinking the dish detergent. Which is, I thought, a power move. I liked that. Starts driving erratically down the street, so the cops are now chasing him, and you can see slits on his neck starting to open up, and he's just like, and he starts squirting the ditch detergent into his own neck, which is nice and gross.
It's like whenever I've tried to swallow too much cum.
Yeah. Yes. Immediate dish detergent, cum neutralizer.
Just start stretching out my throat like a bullfrog. I'm like, oh no,
oh gosh,
gotta get it out.
The car chase ultimately ends with him getting to the street, but not being able to warn any of the families on the end of the block who already have the vitamins in their mailbox. He crashes through the front, and we see fucking worms start to come out through his fucking neck and then go through his nose and shit like that. It's a pretty fun, gross scene to open up this movie.
Doesn't it kind of remind you of The Thing a little bit? When that happens?
No, doesn't. Really? Didn't get anything vibes from it. I mean...
Oh, just like the... I don't know, just that thing. It's a very strange movie because it's like you have almost like this... excuse me. Where you almost have like this other entity, kind of like alien force at other times in the movie. And you're like, oh my God, it's not human. But then at the same time, is it just a mutation of humanity? It's a little bit hard to... I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a little bit hard to differentiate.
Okay.
Hey, MacReady, did Bennings always have worms coming from his out of his mouth before? I was just wondering.
Yeah, of course he did. Shut up.
Charles, chariots to the gods, man. Chariots to the gods.
So, unfortunately, he was unable to warn all of them, and we get to meet some of the people on the block. There's Paul Matthews' house, who he does take the vitamins right away. There's also these two Italian fellows that you'd only know that they're Italian by their semi-racist names, I guess. and they have their own mission.
What's one of their names?
Let's
Gino.
See. Gino and
Scaramucci.
Hey, Gino Scaramucci. You got a little of that.
No, what? Come on, you got to know the other name.
I don't know it offhand.
It does start with an S, doesn't it?
Starts with an A.
Slab? No, that's the chick.
Hey. Well, it's an obvious shout out because his name is Argento.
Ah, Argento. Oh.
Otherwise known as the Goblins or the Italian films of the horror of the 80s.
I'm embarrassed I missed that. I don't know why I was so short. But real quick, sorry. Can we also all agree that soundtrack slaps?
It is. It is a good slapping soundtrack. I don't hate it at all. It's good. Got some good 80s synth in a 90s movie.
It reminded me of You Boys. is what I was saying.
I also love, too, because one of my greatest fucking vices that really, it gets me off every time, is whenever I watch a 90s movie and there's computer graphics in it of, like, them accessing things. This one has, like, an early version of what we would call Google Street View, except it looks like the game Bedlam. Jeremy's familiar with from the Vectrex, and it's
there's
like
at least five people in our listenership that might actually know of Vectrex.
I know,
or
but
Bedlam.
It's literally like, ooh, look at these Nintendo 64 graphics. This is 5 years before the Nintendo 64 ever came out. Look at this high computing.
Shoot, 93, didn't that already have House of the Dead in the arcades by then?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure we already had Jurassic Park, which is a pretty good CGI movie even by today's standards, and this is what we were dealing with. So
that was like the decline of the arcades even in Ocean City. And by the way, the arcades in Wildwood, New Jersey, man, they suck. Oh my gosh, you go into every single arcade and it's the same exact 5 to 10 arcade games. No variation, no diversity at all. It's like every arcade is just almost just buys the same damn thing. It's like all I wanted to play is some Dig Dug and some fucking Time Pilot. You know, forget this all new bullshit.
And you would have been close, Jeremy. It says that House of the Dead would have been released in arcades in 96, so a couple years.
Okay, a little ahead.
Couple years off. So it's weird. Like, every family at the end of this block kind of has their own little separate storyline. Like, the two Italian kids, they are going to, like, something, but they break their windshield. And those two actually have to go and get their windshield replaced at a very convenient sign written on the side of the road that just says windshields or windscreens, which I guess, is that a thing? They call it windscreens?
Yeah, it's different. But no, it actually is very important where they're going. If you remember, they are actually, I don't remember which one of them it is. I think it's the taller of the two boys, holds up a picture of him with the lady from the chemical company, from the vitamin company. They are doing sperm trials on these boys is what they say they're driving to. And they're like, this is great. They're like, we can just jack off all day, give us some sperm, and we're living the life. And I'm like, oh my God.
Look at that. We're from Melbourne.
I'm pretty sure the first episode of Star Trek, they said screens up, not shields.
Oh, so,
there you go.
So
only like 50 years ago now.
So they go to this this place where we will later find out the dad worked for Vimeuville and was one of the proprietors of helping make the special ingredient that helps you not turn into some worm infested freak, but instead a giant helps you produce a giant retarded family. This is, man, probably the highlight of the movie for me is them going to get their windshield replaced, because you meet two daughters and a son that look straight out of The Hills Have Eyes. He himself just has a giant fucking like boil that's like pulsating on the side of his face, and also a daughter with a fucking chin that puts Jay Leno to shame. It is strong. It's a strong jawline.
I did make a note that said I think he goes by Pud, P-U-D, and I was like, huh, I wonder if Pud is single.
Yeah, I think it's, and the girl's name is Slab. I'll call her the hot girl is Slab, Pud, and I think Bab is the other one. And they immediately befriend these two simpletons over breakfast, and then they go out to go kangaroo hunting, where one of the special needs guys fucking takes it and Nolan Ryan's a small rock and kills a kangaroo from like 50 yards out, just nails it, goes right through the heart. They go to skin this kangaroo, which, by the way, kangaroos are like Australia's deer. It's basically like the way we have deer everywhere, like, oh shit, don't hit a deer, they're a fucking nuisance. That's Australia's deer. So they kill it and then immediately rip out its adrenal gland and eat it, which is, and then just like, ooh! And then they just go full tar.
My favorite part about the Tard family, my favorite part about them is whenever the dad calls the one, he doesn't even like use her name or be like, come here. He hog whistles for her to come. No, he doesn't even whistle. He's like, Sue-wee, Sue-wee. And then you just hear her go, it's like, wah, wah, wah.
So, the sister then goes and takes the smaller guy.
She is out for 5 seconds.
So the sister goes, and then she decides to fuck the smaller of the two guys out there. And with the horrors that this guy endures, where she starts to just basically sodomize him with a giant stick and then bite his neck, I guess, meeting his eventual demise. Dad finds out about it, and I love this line that he says. He goes, how many times do I have to tell you? Keep it in the family. Now we got no choice.
So, gotta find the other one.
Yeah, so they find the other one. He tries to escape, but he's in a truck that can only, the steering wheel's broken and it only drives in circles, which should have been obvious because there's just a giant circle that this thing clearly drives around the entire time.
Don't forget, though, the fact that the reason he was found is he had been in the house and he walks into a room where porn is on and he sits down to watch it and turns around and it's grandma watching porn.
Oh, yeah, grandma watching porn. And it's not just like any porn, like, oh, there's titties. No, it's balls. It's the ball going into vagina shot. Like, it's the worst shot to see.
Wait, was it? Because I thought it was ass eating, like from the other, or like.
Oh no, it is. It looks like cock going into something.
Are
like
you
this.
Sure? I may need to like later like contest this because I'm pretty sure it's butt cheeks. We're seeing butt cheeks and someone eating.
Really? Because I didn't
in that direction. I need to watch it longer. It was such a disturbing scene. I couldn't watch it for very.
You know,
long.
Maybe that's the art of this movie. Is you know, it's your own experience every time you watch it.
You see what you want to see.
So he meets his demise, presumably, as the family closes in on him. There's the other guy, Paul Matthews, who he has a very, very different story because there's almost an anthology type tone to this movie where it's like, yeah, it's just kind of we did our own thing or whatever for each person's story. Because as the guy was dying earlier, he says the first thing is hallucinogenic, the second is glandular, and the third is, and he crashes through the window. The hallucinogenic part of this movie is really followed with Paul as he goes to an airport and he sees this fucking cut up ass bitch and he's like, hey, I need a place to stay here, blah, blah, blah. You stay in my place. And then she just disappears. And then he sees her again at his house, but then like she disappears again. And then like the third time he sees her in his house, she's like massaging him, saying she's like, I've had 13 other people just like you and I have all their rib bones. And like, here they are. You get to see the rib bones. And then she slowly massages out his other rib out of his body like that and then pulls it up and holds it. I guess to presumably say that because he's hallucinating, he's actually pulling out his own rib and killing himself.
It's interesting. I'm not sure. I'd have to look up and find out. I mean, I don't know what the significance is of that particular hallucination with the 13 ribs. Like, I'm not sure I quite
well actually
tied to anything.
Jeremy was gonna bring this up, but I'll say it. This is actually the precursor to 13 Ghosts. It was this 13th rib thing and the inspiration for Jeremy's song by the same title.
I'm pretty sure that's my favorite Iron Maiden song, 13 Ribs. And of course the song starts as like, this is the story of 13 ribs, where a woman who is one woman but also 13 steals men's ribs while making love to them. I am Iron Maiden. Now get back to the music. Tim the bass.
Oh, I mean, I personally prefer Famous Dave's 13 men's ribs, but you know.
Are you much of an Iron Maiden fan, Ashley?
I mean, like a little bit, but I would not call myself a fan. Like the random song here or there, but.
Yeah, they jumped the shark with their song called Hooks in You, because it's like a song before that shit got popular about people, you know, hanging on hooks and shit. Mm-hmm. But I think it's hooks in me, hooks in you, hooks in the ceiling for that well-hung feeling. No big deal, no big sin. Strung up on love, I got the hook screwed in.
Oh, that's kind of, that means kind of horny. Like, I love
it. I used to think the Iron Maiden were cool until that song, so.
That's probably fair, but it's a drippy song. I do like that. You know what's interesting? I did find this out, and I didn't know how to like put it in, but the brothers who did, like, I think the writing of this movie, if I'm not mistaken, are actually ex-members of an art punk band, and there's no words, but it is the symbol for right up right. Yep, there's no words. It's like when Prince named himself as a symbol. That's kind of quality we're working with. Very strange. I'm not quite sure how you go from being in like a pop punk band to being like, I think we could write a movie. It's a little bit strange, but again, I'm still a fan of this. I still absolutely love this nightmare of a movie.
And by the way,
I'm still working on Pogo's Funhouse, the band. So,
oh. I guess it's worth mentioning because if you guys want to watch this movie, because I'm sure it's all in your lexicon, all of our listeners have seen this. But if you'd like to watch Body Melt, it's totally free. It's on the internet on Tubi. You got to watch a couple of ads as it plays, but it's definitely worth the watch. So,
I'm glad we figured that out because we almost watched what Eric recommended on YouTube, and it was all in French.
Yeah, I was just like, "This is a fucking crazy movie, guys. I don't understand what's going on, but it's pretty good." So while this is all going on, the police are trying to track down leads about the first guy's death, and they find out that he wrote what's Paul's name on his fucking arm like this so he could go track him down. But the coroner does say this as they're looking at this guy's dead body.
Paul Matthews.
Well, he was one healthy dude. Unnaturally healthy. Now, I'm talking new drugs here, right? Not your 70s designer shit or your 80s ghetto powders. I'm talking fucking 90s, man. Cognition enhancers. Designed to take your mind into new intra-phenomenological dimensions.
I also like that as a coroner, he's well-versed in all of the designer drugs from the 70s. And nothing like these ones in the 90s here. Let me tell you. The 90s is for clacks. That's just a joke for Jeremy, and that's all I needed. So
I just love the fact they bring Jolt Cola back. So
yes. So the other family is Brian and his super pregnant wife. They visit the police. They get a visit from the police, and Brian keeps drinking his vitamin mix. The doctor then checks out Brian's wife and says, the baby's eaten a lot of protein after the wee hours of the morning, so that's not too much out of the question. And the doctor then calls up the lady who we saw inject the guy at the beginning, the head of the fucking vitamin corporation, Vimuville, and says, hey, we got to cut back her doses. I think it's fucking her shit up. And she's like, no, these are going to hit stores very, very soon. We need to keep with the testing. So she doesn't call it off. Meanwhile, Mama and has a little problem after she leaves the doctor's as some afterbirth kind of comes out onto the floor. It basically looks like Jeremy as he eats ribs at his house, just falling out everywhere.
Well, it's not afterbirth if you haven't given birth yet, right?
it's actually a giant placenta on the floor. So
yeah, it looks like she breaks her water in the way that like somebody in the band Guar would give birth, if that makes sense.
Or Coneheads.
Yes, or Coneheads. So she feels like something's evil going on, so she decides to go and stab her own womb. But as that's happening, Brian comes in, and she goes, no, don't do it. And then fucking all of a sudden, a giant tentacle comes out of her fucking vag and then latches onto his face, which is, nice. I was like, yes, this is why I signed up for this movie.
I thought it was kind of ironic that she'd actually have one of Damien's daggers from The Omen sitting on her bedside table, ready to stab at any moment. So,
right, like that was an aggressively large, archaic dagger to be laying next to like a housewife's bed. Yeah, that was strange to me too. Now, the only thing I thought like that really stuck out to me was the only thing worse than that scene and like everything that was going on was her fucking fashion sense. That dress was horrible. I don't know what happens to you when you get pregnant, and they're just like, oh, guess what? You're not a person anymore. You're a mom. Here's a plaid dress that goes all the way up.
You will now only drape yourselves in fabric like your Aretha Franklin for the rest of your life.
Once that water breaks, it's all just going to be a bloody mess that you have to throw anyway. So might as well just wear sackcloth. So.
That's a great point. You know what? I should just stop dressing like a lady. Like, I could poop myself at any moment. We should just cover me in plastic, like a whole bunch of PVC, and just be like, she's just going to poop herself anyways.
So, lady. So meanwhile, Mama, is, after that whole thing happens, and I guess Brian's dead, and so is the mom, or so we think, a new family goes to the Vimuvu Spa, the Nobles, and one of the kids is a sick rollerblader. So you get some rollerblading in a half pipe, and he's like, this is going to be my biggest trick ever, and then he fucking smacks his face on the ground immediately and I guess dies. We'll see from... Well... During Act Three, you do see that the thing is also eating his face away later. So you get one more shot of this little kid who fucking fails at the X Games.
Well, if you remember, his sister says to him on his way out the door, I hope you break your neck.
Yeah. And that he does. That he does. So the doctor goes and checks, and Brian's face is all opened up and looks disgusting. Ends up biting off the doctor's ear in the process, but he's able to escape. The cops then go check on it after the doctor's left and can find the ear still in his hand like that. Which then brings us to Act Three, which is just, gosh, a symphony of gore and cheap special effects. I kind of love it. There's all these muscly people that work at Vimuville, and I'll just kind of go through some of the deaths that happen in the third act because they're all taking these vitamins. One muscle guy explodes because he's watching porn, and his dick explodes because he's jerking off, and his dick literally explodes.
I immediately made a note that says, why do I imagine that this is Eric's house? Because the guy's got this weird mullet, the annoying sexual needs, the high-pitched voice, and the exploding dick. It's almost uncanny.
Another muscle guy ends up killing his girlfriend when he chokes her to death, which I'm pretty sure is actually written into Ashley's will. And... he, as he chokes her to death, he actually, a part of his back splits open as that's happening. The dad from the Noble family starts melting in the bathroom, and then falls over on his own fucking, Jeremy Lugs that he's been leaving on the ground, cracks his head open and is just breathing out fucking bile. And it's funny because the mom walks in and sees it, and she leaves with the daughter, and they're like, fuck our kid. We haven't seen the little kid. We just need to leave.
I thought the same thing. Like, they at no point are like, should we check on my brother? We're just like, ah, we're just going to assume he's dead. But I also love that before we leave, because I'm not mistaken, correct, that before they leave in the car, the daughter discovers the lady running the facility that we've seen through the whole
yes.
movie, and she's starting to melt, and she slaps her, which for some reason I loved so much.
I do like that she slaps her, and then she home alones her face, like the lady herself home alones her face as it like squeezes and melts, and then she just kind of her whole head disintegrates from there. It's a nice little scene, very artsy. I liked it a lot. But then after the mom and daughter leave, the mom's not far behind as she grows a giant gnarly tongue that like chokes herself and she collapses, and I mean it's a tongue that is at least like 20% the size of Gene Simmons, so no normal human could even possibly have that large of a tongue. It's ridiculous.
I was gonna say, boy, isn't it right?
The cops finally track down the doctor near the end. He's in that lady's face. He's at the head of Vimuville's office. And he shows, he's just like, no, these are enhancements. Look. And he shoots himself in the hand to show, like, you see that? I don't even feel it, which is weird because, like, it doesn't heal up. He's just like, no, it gives you the ability to just fuck your body up and not feel
cool.
It. It basically makes you dark man, I guess, is the power. He then decides to then shoot himself in the head, ending our sweet doctor's portion of the movie. But, which brings us to the end. It then shows, after he shoots himself, we get one more big death at the police station where it's the last guy who's left and he's just literally projectile vomiting on the entire police station so much that they're just comically falling down. Everybody is just has PTSD.
That is the husband of the pregnant lady.
Okay, so he's still going strong with his weird vag face. I like that. So,
well, at this point, it's starting to like rot him from the inside out because, yeah, it was weird that he leaves the scene of her death because they thought he killed her. And he's still functioning, but as soon as they get to the police station, yeah, he starts to morph and turn into a whole new blob.
And I like that when he finally, like, melts his body down, the coroner comes in, and he's just very nonchalant. He's like, another one of these. Look at that. Isn't that something right there? Another, you know, we're just calling him, I forget what the word he uses to describe the deaths are, but he comes up with a category. He goes...
Oh, I don't remember him having like a category, but I feel like I swear he goes, it's just really bizarre.
It's really bizarre. No, he has this like, it's called unnatural death. That is what I think they label it as, or something like that.
You're right. He's like supernatural death or something like that. Yeah.
At the very last scene of the movie, we see the cops head back to the first gas station where it all started, and that guy was chugging down Dawn like it was a goddamn Budweiser. They pan through, and you get to see that the vitamins are already on the shelf. Which brings us to an end of Body Melt from 1993. What an amazing film. Jeremy, what were your takeaways from Body Melt? I felt like it very much drew on like things like Street Trash and stuff. I thought this would be right up your alley. What did you think?
Can you give me the ending music to Road Warrior?
I can try. Give me a second here. You're gonna have to fill in the meantime, but yeah, I can probably do that.
I'd never heard of this movie before. Obviously, it never made it to the States in normal time like we could have now that we have streaming old movies. Because I watched almost every horror movie back in my day, so... All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Body Melt. Truly one of Australia's greatest films. But as we look back, we'll know there will be a sequel someday. And we'll get to see Pug and Ab and Slab again, as maybe she rapes another man with a stick, leaving us with Body Melt 2.
Electric Boot.
Licking it. Damn it, why? Why? Yes. Body Melt 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, amazing. Ashley, what did you think of Body Melt?
I loved it. I thought at first, because we had the wrong version, that I was going to absolutely hate this movie. But shout out to Dave. I loved this pick. My takeaway from the film is, ladies, don't take your prenatal vitamin. Just let nature do its thing. And if you'd like to see my OnlyFans version of this movie, you can find it online at albahortuna_69. It is titled Tuna Melt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's the dolphin meat that makes it taste the best.
I soak it in water first.
I really enjoyed this. I would say, apart from Cabin of the Woods, it's my second favorite movie we did for Fansgiving overall. A real gem. I'd never seen it before, so thanks Dave Draper for suggesting it. I think it's not the best movie in terms of like, I think Street Trash is grosser and it's very close to this movie. I like a Street Trash more than this movie.
I think that Street Trash and a trauma film had a kid and it was this film.
Yeah, I would have liked it to just be just not much gorier, just a touch gorier. I thought they could have done a little bit more over the top gore to really hammer home, like, I wanted more like over the top cartoonish violence. But hey, when you bring in a bunch of people acting retarded in the 90s, I'm 100% in on the movie.
Definitely better than House of the Devil, even though it didn't have Eric Stoltz in it.
That I don't think either one had Eric Stoltz.
We really need to do Dead Alive soon. That's all I'm saying after watching this. Now I've got an itch to scratch.
Yeah, Dead Alive is a pretty good classic. You know, we've done Bad Taste. Have you ever seen Bad Taste before?
I watched it last night.
Yeah,
we also watched
Sweet.
That was terrifying.
Wow.
What was terrifying? We missed that.
Oh, no, that's okay. The Suckling.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's on Tubi, too.
They made a movie out of my nickname in high school? Weird.
yeah, it's pretty not, like, super terrifying, but the concept is disgusting. It's about a girl who tries to get an illegal abortion, and the fetus, like, tries to get revenge.
All right, I'm in on that. The Suckling.
Okay. Well, good. All right. Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
I'm game to watch that. But no, the movie itself it's good. It does draw on a lot of like Peter Jackson classics and stuff like that. It's not badly acted. There's some jokes in it. To this day, though, do you guys know what this joke means? Because I feel I'm a wordsmith and I know jokes. Okay. Did you guys get this joke at the beginning of the movie? He's like, "Hey, you want to hear a joke? Elton John." I don't understand it. I tried to
is
think
he calling
of it.
Him gay?
I guess it's like the joke is
because he does
John.
Look like a giant fruit, but I don't know.
I don't understand that joke. I googled it and it doesn't exist on the internet even. So good bit by it made me think. It made me think. But it's a great movie. It was filmed over multiple years. There's over 400 shots in this movie for a 90-minute film. So
You know the big fat guy of The Sopranos, right?
Yeah.
Not Big Pussy, but the other guy who was like gay, and they found him at a gay bar dressed up like Judas Priest with the leather stuff on and everything.
Yeah, I know him. In fact, I went to the Mahoning Inn to go see to the Mahoning Theater, and he is the only famous person that stayed at the Mahoning Inn. So of course I know. I know who you're talking about, Jeremy.
No, he had a guest. He was a guest spot on Don and Mike show, and they's like, how did you feel about playing a gay man on television? He's like, "Hey, you know, like they say about Elton John, he was pretty good on the piano, but he sucked on the organ." So, you know.
That's a good bit there. Good bit.
Just talk about sucking on the penis.
It's like dick, you get it? It's very funny. It's very good.
Down now.
Ashley, where can people find you at, love?
You won't find me in person for a couple weeks, but you can find me on social media at Ashley Pontius Laughs.
Oh, Ashley Pontius, is the website live now?
It is not. I'm dragging my ass.
Okay, I respect that. Hey, make sure you go and take our survey. It's on Facebook right now. You can go check it out. Ashley worked at least 20 to 15 minutes putting this thing together, so make sure you check that out. We would appreciate some of your feedback. Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month. It's probably online again, and you need to check that out. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Check out our merch store. Jeremy, take us out.
2 days ago, I saw a rig that talked to that tanker. You want to get out of here? You talk to me. Body melt.